Okay, good morning, and a good Chodesh. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, everybody for watching, and you know, we have the Yontif of Shavuos coming, and I was trying to think of a share to give about the Yontif of Shavuos. I'll go through what we've done in the past few years. We've covered a lot of the, you know, Shavuos is a one-day Yontif. Unless you go into just basic Hilchos Yontif, you know, we talked about halachas of flowers, halachas of staying up all night.
Hilchos cheesecake.
Hilchos cheesecake, exactly. We've gone through, Rabbi Sharfman has, I think, had multiple shirts about cheesecake.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, you know, at a certain point, you have to expand your horizons for Shavuos. And, you know, when you think about what Shavuos is, obviously, this the fundamental moment Klai Yisrael receiving the Torah, it's Man Matan Torah Seinu, obviously is such an important date on the calendar. But there's another picture of Shavuos, and, you know, people a lot of times connect Shavuos and Simchas Torah. There are a lot of similarities. There are questions, why do we need to celebrate both? What exactly are them? But we all know the scenes on Simchas Torah of a person dancing with the Sefer Torah. Obviously, that's a personal highlight. That's what we do. Everyone dances around the Sefer Torah. In fact, I just was in the Bells Grand Shul in Yerushalayim. If anyone has seen the Bells, some call it the Beis HaMikdash. Huge, huge shul.
Is that Meir Shurim?
It's not. It's in, it's past Geula, near Rehov Yirmiyahu. But this beautiful, beautiful shul, it's packed thousands and thousands of people. They have no room there on Simchas Torah. You know what Simchas Torah is? Literally. Talk about work out for the Gabbais. They literally, no one, there's the only one who dances is the Rebbe. Okay? It's a Chassidish. But basically, they pass the Sefer Torah around the masses. You have the Sefer Torah for a minute, then you pass it on to the person next to you, and the person next to you, and the person next to you. So the Torah moves, the people don't move, except for the Rebbe dancing. There's no room. But, you know, that picture, what is Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah is a person holding a Sefer Torah and dancing. You might have seen in recent years another phenomenon in the yeshiva world. Sometimes you'll find a Simchas Torah, a bacher will get up and he'll grab a sefer, right? And he'll dance with the sefer, right? Bahar Rav Noam made famous a bacher dancing with his gemara. But the yeshivas, a person will dance with a ksos, a rashba, chedush aleih, whatever they're excited about, they'll dance with the sefer. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Obviously, we'll talk in a moment, you know, dancing with the Sefer Torah, not the same thing dancing with the Sefer. But we are the people of the book. And more recently, we are also the people of the printed book. Ever since printing presses were invented, really before that, because you could write it down too. But Jews are always in the forefront of printing Svarim. And we'll talk in a moment about the allowance for that today. But the Jews are definitely the people of the book. I saw some news tidbit. You know, they're very into having these auctions now. The Judaica. And I believe it shattered all records in the secular world for the highest auction book of all time. Just, I think, last week. Maybe someone can tell me the numbers. Huh? No, not that. But there was some old print edition. Maybe it was written. But it wasn't a Sefer Torah. It was a Chumash. I believe it went for tens and tens of millions of dollars. I think I remember the number 80. Not bad. A Sefer? $80 million? Yeah.
You could dance with that in
simple stuff. You could dance with that. Maybe inside a case.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is, you know, we treasure our Svarim, we treasure our books. Today there's more Svarim printed than ever before. There's so many Svarim, so much, right? Could ask the Talmidei Mishlap back Svarim from Eretz Yisrael. Like, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I saw another thing someone showed me. They recently gave a tour to some people in the Lakewood Yeshiva. So randomly, the person in charge of the Yeshiva library pulled out a sefer and showed it to the people. It was a sefer Pnei Yeshua, which is a famous achron from Frankfurt, right? Way back before Shlomo Shofar Hirsch. Pnei Yeshua. Well, what was interesting about this edition of Pnei Yeshua is if you look who owned it, it's quite fascinating. They showed it was owned by some named Akiva Eger.
Some guy named Akiva.
It was Rabbi Akiva Eger's own Pnei Yeshua. This is the sefer that the Gaon looked in.
This is what they call in the auction business provenance.
Yes.
Right. If the watch was owned by Jack Nicklaus.
Yes. Yes.
More money.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not just an old print Pnei Yeshua. It's Pnei Yeshua that was owned by Rabbi Eger. And randomly, I don't know the story behind it, how the yeshiva got it, but the Lakewood Yeshiva, somehow that sefer traveled, just think of the mileage on these things, traveled from Europe through the ages, ended up in Lakewood, New Jersey. I remember years ago in yeshiva in Queens, they were going through old Sfarim, right? Anyone knows the old building in Queens? There is a place called the Cave. The Cave was this magical spot. Right, there was some storage in the cave. There was a Jep office. They did some kiruv in the cave. People put in tefillin. They came out davening sometimes. There was also a tzaddik who davened in the cave. I'm not going to go through all the amazing elements of the cave back in Queens. But the cave, they had boxes. They had old stuff there.
That's really
cute. I didn't find it myself, but I didn't see it. But my father-in-law told me he saw it once. Going through the cave, and they found old mishaburas. Okay, it's very nice. Except, what was interesting was in this mishabura was handwritten that it was checked that there are no mistakes, no printing mistakes. And you know who signed it?
The Chafetz Chaim
himself. The Chafetz Chaim himself was known for being so machped when he sold the sefer to look into it. They shouldn't sell a sefer which has a printing mistake. Printing mistakes are common, happens. He'll be shortchanging the person if you buy, a sefer. And especially in those days, they didn't have return shipping. Someone could be passing through Rada and bought a set of Mishabura. And, he ain't going to be in Rada never again. So Chafetz Chaim was machped to try to look and see if every sefer he sold was perfect. And after it would be, he would check it and he would write on it. They found the sefer with the Chafetz Chaim's, yeshiva got from Hefker. They somehow got, who knows. They ended up.
So something we're knowing that when a sefer wears out, we bury it.
Yes.
Does a sefer like that was owned, used by somebody far greater than any of us, does that have an extra kedusha to it? Do you put it in a glass bookcase?
It's a very interesting question.
Or do you give it to everybody?
The question being asked on the floor is, do we attribute a higher level of kedusha to a sefer that was used by a great person?
By a gadol hador.
Right, yeah. If we find the sefer used by the Chafetz Chaim, or my other story, you find the sefer by Rabbi Akiva Eger, does that give it more kedusha? Does that deserve more kavod? So it's interesting. I haven't seen this in print. I haven't seen this shiloh. My netiyah would be that, yeah, one should, treat that with, a higher level of kedusha. But let me first play out, the basic issue at hand. We'll see. A very, very good point.
My question is really what is kavod for that sefer?
Yes, yes.
Putting it aside or using it?
So, yes.
Just like a corollary to what he's saying. which is more beautiful, a library that has all brand new sperm all the way around, or sperm that were all used because they were actually used?
It sounds like you're asking a question about our new base metaphors opening up. We hope soon. But yeah, the new base metaphors comes with a beautiful, extensive new set of sperm. Wow. But you're right. You know, you're measuring new sperm versus well-used sperm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they used to say in Queens, on the wooden floor, you see that spot? That's the indentation, or a lumen made from pacing too much on that spot. That's what they used to say. But yes, yeah, something well used. Something well used, you know, has something in it. The Kedusha in the walls. No question about it. Well, let's first analyze the whole issue of what Kedusha, what Kavod do printed Sfarim have. Now, let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, there were two Torahs. Moshe Rabbeinu got Yontif HaShavuos, got the Torah Shebiksav from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was not just the tablets, but that was the written Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu got, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. There also was the Torah Shebaal Peh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu all the real Torah, right, which we assume that's what's printed today. But all that Torah, through all the ages, the Torah Shebaal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu got at Har Sinai. He also got Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, other things. But, so it was a two-part system. There's going to be a part of the Torah that's going to be written, and a part that will be given over. We could, talk about this topic, you know, it unto itself, well, the whole transmission of the Torah. But really, part of the idea, why do you need a Torah Shebaal Peh? Because part of the Torah is learning from a Rebbe to a Talmud. Passing a Mesorah one generation to the other. It's not just, here's the written Torah, and you interpret it the way you want to interpret it. Not true. There's a Torah Shebaal Peh. And even after, you know, we mark every year during the fast days, the tragedy that we had in history to write the Torah, translate the Torah to the Goyim, and now you could find the Old Testament, you know, many languages, but they don't have the Torah Shebaal Peh. Comes to mind. Don't try this at home, but I was once put in a situation where I found myself, I was put into the situation. I didn't ask for this. But there is a, what's he called? Hmm. A missionary.
Oh.
Who was debating, and I was thrown in to debate this missionary. So, okay, I was a young guy, and whatever.
You gotta be prepared for that.
So they're trained and they have all these different proofs and they're, you know,
Isaiah,
right? They start quoting this and that. Right, they have psukim and this. So what I would play with them, I hear this. I said, how do you know what that's what it means? Right, you're reading the Old Testament. How do you know that's what it means? I said, hey, you know, Shakespeare, you know, writes a book and there's unlimited interpretations. Do you think that's what God did for the Old Testament? You want it to be like Shakespeare's writings? It's up to everyone's interpretation? No. We understand, we have an oral tradition of how to explain each and every verse in the Old Testament, in the Torah. So, you know, you're asking me a contradiction between this and that. Great, you know what? The Gemara deals with this. We have answers for this. It's not a question. And he had nothing to say. Doesn't know. Yeah. Now nowadays, you know, there's a shadow too. Art scrolls, you know, you've translated the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's printed and it's translated. Art scroll have to be very smart in different passages of the Gemara, translating them. And for those who know, different passages of the Gemara, omitting them. Art scroll does not have everything in shots printed. There are Gemaras that were censored over the decades. Oh, yeah. You will not find that in an art scroll Gemara.
The Vilna Shas has been censored.
most editions of the Vilna Shas, but yeah. My guys in Shir know everybody. You could find the spots if you know the right editions. No, there are good, there are editions of the Vilna Shas out there that have it all. Yes. Now.
Yeah.
Now, so it was set up the Torah Shebe'al Peh together with the Torah Shebe'Ksav. That's all that we're celebrating on Shavuot. Both Torah Shebe'Ksav and Torah Shebe'al Peh. We got them both. Now, straight up, we understand, okay, it's a big deal. How do we have a right to write over the Torah Shebe'al Peh? So that's an idea the Gemara talks about of Eis Lasos LaHashem Nefir Sorosecha. There are certain situations in life which the power is given over to the rabbis, a pretty major clause in our Jewish, in our tradition, our halacha, that the rabbis, obviously it has to be the Beis Din HaGadol, the leaders of the generation, but they have the right, more usually b'sheva'al dasa, not necessarily b'kum vaseh, but to override and permit things which otherwise would be aser for the survival of the Jewish people. Within our galus, it was obviously clear that, hey, if we can't just rely on the oral tradition, things would get lost. And we know through the ages, things have gotten lost. You know, there are, they say Sephardim, especially the Yemenites, might have a better tradition of Masorah than we do. And there are a lot of things through the ages that got lost. Because it's Rebbe the Talmud, but you know what happens if the Talmud got killed? From the Crusades, through the Holocaust, through all the ages. So many, you know, when our Rishonim were writing these Sephardim, who knows what was going on outside? The blood libels, the Crusades, everything, right? We just said Avarachavim, right? By Rosh Chodesh pension. Why? Because the Crusades were this time of the year. Same period, it's eerie, but the same period of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva dying, it's the same period where they had these Crusades, they wrote that Tefillah Avarachavim, even though you don't normally say by Shabbos Mavarachim, because this was the time of Mesakim. This is what the blood was spilling in the streets now. That's why I would say it. So you can imagine through those ages, things would get lost. And the foresight that our Chachamim had, that we have to write down the Torah Shebe'al Peh. We have the right to do it because of this concept of Eis Lasos LaHashem, and the Torah Shebe'al Peh was written. Really with that, even Torah Shebe'Ksav, the ideal way of Torah Shebe'Ksav is supposed to be written is like a Sefer Torah. Is on cloth, savasharis, with ink. The idea of printed chumashim is also not the ideal, seemingly part of the islah soslasha. So when we talk about the kedusha of our printed svarim, we have to realize, obviously our printed svarim pashtas are one madriga removed from a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, that's the ideal way, okay, that's the way a Sefer Torah is supposed to be written. But to have a printed Chumash is not the same. And certainly our printed books, also not the same. Yes?
Since you extended even further now with more modern, when we're dealing with, you know, last we talked about Ma'aslanim, but now we're dealing with Torah Anytime, Shabbat.com, all of the, you know,
Jewish sites, right?
Websites, apps, you know, the OU, you know, all of these,
right.
All these apps.
On your phone, you can have Kol Torah Kula.
Right. I mean,
we are people of the digital book.
Is that not even a further extension?
So I'm going to see that in a moment. I'll take you there in 1 second. Excellent point. Right. I was talking about the printed book. They're really bringing up, Rabbi, you should be more up to date. The people of the digital book. Yes. Art scrolls.
As soon as it's on your screen, you can never stroll away.
Yes.
It'd be real hard to use this Shavuos now.
Yes. Now, right. That's why I always say, you know, even with all the digital books, you're going to need to buy Sfarim. Because what happens on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And to be honest, even the digital libraries, everyone's, you know, raves to me about the digital libraries. I'm sorry. Someone who knows Svarim, the digital libraries haven't come close. They do a lot. There's a lot there. But to understand what the Jewish... I'll give you one small example. I'm staring at it right here. Here's a sefer that was printed out. It wasn't so long ago, 15, 20 years ago. Nobody knows the sefer existed. The smart business is, you print the sefer, you put X amount of copies. Most Svarim, even if it's a bestseller and produced, many, many copies, doesn't necessarily mean it's reproduced a decade later, definitely 2 decades later, 3 decades later, and a sefer which is hugely popular that you grew up with, you can't find anywhere today. Right? These things happen. And these wonderful libraries that exist, whether it's Bar Ilan or Otzar HaChachma, all these Safaria, all these things that they have are far, far, far from anything near what the real Jewish library is. No comparison. So don't think you buy that, you have every sefer. You have a lot. You have a lot of things the average person might need, but you don't have everything. So I liked what really inspired me also about this shir. I came across a piece which, again, this, you don't find this. A tshuva from Reb David Feinstein. He passed away. I believe he wrote a lot, and I assume over the next decades, hopefully the family will publish his tshuvas. But when he was nifter, there were probably, when he gave a shir about this, probably a handful, maybe a dozen of in print tshuvas from him, very, very few. So I came across an interesting shir. If you look on the bottom right of your page, I'll get back to other stuff on top after. But he has a very interesting chakira. He writes, Yesh lachrim yesh al zeh shem ksiva. Nowadays, when we write svarim, is that considered really a written sefer? Tell me, all my ksiva mamoshes. Rashi also lifted the inyan zeh mishum kpedus asuras sefer v'dayo. Right? You can't write a chumash ideally without ksav asuras, cloth, ink. Imkin achshav shemutu lichso mitzad eis lasos. Nowadays, that we're allowed to write svarim based on this clause, this halacha of eis lasos, nikra ksiva v'yishem kedushas madrigas chumash v'na. Nowadays, that I have a chumash, does that really have the kedusha of a sefer Torah, or similar to a sefer Torah? Oh, me'achar shol nitna v'kosev, rak v'kpeda shol ashuris, sefer v'dayo, ideally you're supposed to have all these things. In nichtavu shlo kezeh, nisha bal peh, avachshav. Really nowadays, a chumash would be no different than a gemara. Rak shemut bal peh, abitam es lasos. That chumash that's sitting right there, is that a chumash in halacha? Is that like a sefer Torah? Or do you say no? It's the same thing as Gemara. Once the rabbis permitted us to print svarim, right? How do I view a chumash, a printed chumash? Does that have a higher kedusha than other svarim? Or do I say no? Once it's printed, look, the reason why we wrote down Torah Shabbat Peh, Eitz Lasos Hashem, the reason why we're allowed to write the Chumash without these things is also some element of Eitz Lasos. We need more Chumashim. We can't just have Sefer Torah. It's not enough. We want people to be able to learn by themselves. So, Menela, does it have the same Kedusha with it, the same Kavod, or not? And but before the end of this year, we'll get to practical nafkaminas, yes.
If a chumash has a printing error, does it make it possible?
Interesting question, right? If a sefer has a printing error, right, it's not the same thing as a sefer Torah that we would...
Possible.
But it's a very good point. You brought up before about geniza, about treating things well. You know, you can have situations where the printing job was a bad job and no one's going to use that sefer. But it doesn't mean you can just throw it out. We'll see. Now hold on. I'm watching the clock, and we did start a little late, so I want to move quicker. So this Chakira, which Abdullah Feinstein sets up, really, if you look through it, there are people on both sides of the equation. I'll quickly show through. There's a Mishabura here in Simen Mem regarding Hilchos Tefillin, but the Chafetz Chaim applies Hu Adin Chumashim O Sidrei Tefila O Shar Svar Bein Miksiva Bein Medefos, whether it's handwritten or whether it's printed, Hakol Yish Bem Kedusha, everything has Kedusha. We didn't cleave it all clean. In terms of sometimes you do something which we label as an embarrassing act or not a Kavadika act, right? Then in order to protect the safer, take a safer into a bathroom, what you need is a double covering. It has to be klibatol kli. So practically speaking, if you have, you're in the airport, and your safer is inside your suitcase. So inside a suitcase is one covering. What's your second covering? So he's going to write, Fium Ksav Tisha, it's not the Ksiva Sefer Torah, the Krichas HaSefer, Eina Nachshev is the Kiso. Some people will say, look, I have the cover of the Sefer. So the cover of the Sefer is one, and my suitcase is a second. Chafetz Chaim says that doesn't work. Why? The cover of a sefer is considered really part of the sefer. So you need a secondary covering on top of that. So practically speaking, that would mean is if you have a sefer inside a plastic bag, inside your suitcase, then you're okay. If you have, something, a mar makom, you put it inside an envelope, and you put that in your pocket.
You fold it?
You're okay, yes, 100%.
You just folding is good enough?
Oh, no, it means just folding over. Well, sorry, not. That's the same thing as a cover.
When you're saying the cover of the safer, you're talking
right?
About binding?
But if you need to put a separate piece of paper, that might be interesting. Yeah. It's like an envelope.
Yeah. We're just talking about the binding.
Binding. So,
again, to go back to art scroll, almost every book that you get from art scroll, it has the laminated thing, but...
But you need a paper cover.
But that only helps with the binding itself. That doesn't wrap.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Would the paper cover on a safer, would that be considered a second covering? That's very interesting. I'm not sure. But hold on.
I can't possibly be helpful.
But look at the next slide. That was just giving you one nafkamina for kedusha of a safer, for covering of a safer, not taking it to a bathroom, not to have it in places where you're going to do things which would be degrading to the safer. So the safer needs to be covered. Two layers of cover. And the cover doesn't work. The Ayin B'Yeridea Simen Rekiv Eger. The Tasham. Shekasuv Kol Mekel B'Kedusha Svarim HaNin Tfasim. Anyone who was Mekel and published Svarim, the Taz already was talking about this. Asid Litin Es Adin. The Tfas HaVikamon Ksiva. Taz warned strongly, if you're Mekel about printed Svarim, you have a price to pay. At the Chuvas Chavas Yar, and not the Lako. Chavas Yar says, no, you can be Mako, Bezet, Beshas Lakat, because you're in the Mal Chasas. If you don't want to cover it, you can be Mako. So you see from the Mishabura, and I'll show you soon, our Shulchan bring the same major Machlokas Achronim. How do we view printed Svarim? The Taz says you have to treat printed Svarim with full Kedusha, don't be Mako, big deal. Chavis Yar says, no, b'shas of chak, if you're stuck, maybe you could. I saw some interesting story of some Jew who was knowledgeable, but he was learning in Panovich Yeshiva. He was an outsider. He was learning in Panovich, and there's no room there. Those who saw with Kananahar, Panovich based manager, it's packed. And he had another safer, no place to put it. So this fellow, knowing the Chavis Yar, when you're stuck, b'shas of chak, you don't have to view our printed Sfarim as the same level of Kedusha. So this person put his printed Sefer on the floor. There was no room. Mm-hmm. Just had a shtender, know this, put on the floor. Let's just say he was accosted by the guys around him, like, what are you doing? I mean, it was a Chavos Yar. Like, the guy seemed knowledgeable. But you have to understand how to apply it, buddy. Not so simple. Right?
I have a question. What about on the floor of your car?
Very interesting question. Right. is where do you put a safer in one's car? And it's tricky to put it on the seat where someone's sitting on the same bench. It's also not so simple. So very, very good point. What people sometimes do is try to stand it up. So
still on the floor.
Right. No, on the bench.
On the seat. Yeah.
Yeah. But these things are not so simple. But hold on. Let me jump.
Just a clarification for what you just said. When you're talking about two covers, are you talking about a cover that you can see through, like a clear plastic?
Or yeah, clear plastic would be fine.
Clear plastic.
Two covers. The cover does not have to be dark. It could be plastic. 100%.
You can still see your safer.
Yes. 100%. That works.
You don't have to put a velvet mantle on your books.
Right. It's nice. Right.
It would be beautiful.
It would be.
We started.
They actually do that for for the.
We can make a lot of money.
Ed. There is an industry already. You're a little behind the curve.
Oh,
when
sorry.
They give a child their first sitter,
I know,
the
yeah.
first thing they do,
yeah.
they put a velvet thing, they put a nice cover in it, and they work in it.
I remember my children's sitter presentation.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, though, he brings, I have here in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, he does bring the same machlok as Taz and Chavas Yar. However, in Reish Pei Beis and also in Reish Pei Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan leans highly on the tzad that our modern svarim do not have the same kedusha because it's printed safer is less, and therefore there is room to be mekel. That is how the Aruch HaShulchan paskins. Now, what that would mean, not that there's no kedusha. But one very simple nafkamin according to the Aruch HaShulchan. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, Al, you mentioned this before. You have this many times on a Shabbos morning. You'll see a person go to the shelf and will take two svarim out, a sitter and a chumash.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people will just, by nature, put the sitter on top of the chumash. They're sitting, also they have a small spot. They're not going to put the chumash on the floor, but they put the sitter on top of the chumash. According to this Aruch HaShulchan, that would be okay. Because since nowadays this is a printed sefer, doesn't have the same kedusha as a full-blown sefer Torah, so according to Aruch HaShulchan's view, they're all in the same playing field. All printed svarim in the same playing field, and so it's a type of thing that if you see someone doing it, it's not one of those things to jump the guy with, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Yes, who to be so mechon. Right? If the guy puts on the floor, I hear him punovich while they jump the guy.
That's no problem, but they kill a mockingbird on top.
Right. However, I did find in this tshuva from Rav David Feinstein does find a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is in Aruch Chaim Siman Shin Lamed Aleph. That seems to hold that there still is Kedusha and a higher level of Kedusha to a printed Chumash. And therefore, Rav David Feinstein says, granted there's an Aruch HaShulchan, but the Magen Avraham outranks him. Magen Avraham was earlier, a greater Akram. So Rav David Feinstein says, I would pass him like the Magen Avraham over the Aruch HaShulchan. I would be careful with the Kedusha of a printed Sefer. That is what he writes. I heard that Rav Shlomo Zalman also passed in the same way. Now another point, interesting. Somebody mentioned to me about the sitter. How do you treat a sitter? It's very interesting. A sitter, so you'll say a sitter is a printed sefer, seemingly no different than a Gemara. A chumash, okay, we hear according to the Magen Avraham, a chumash takes precedence over a sitter. It's a greater kedusha. But what about a sitter in the Gemara? Well, we think pashas are the same. Except, people want to argue, what do you mean? Even a sitter has mostly Tehillim in it. A lot of our davening is Tehillim. That's part of Tanakh.
As the Shema.
People say, look in the back of modern day Siddurim. They can have potentially even the whole Tehillim, like an art school sitter does.
Yeah.
Plus it has Kriyas HaTorah for Mondays and Thursdays, Shabbos afternoon.
Some
have
some
chumash. chumash.
The full chumash, even.
So that would for sure be called the chumash. But so I saw modern poskim's debate exactly what, how to define our modern siddurim. Pashas is viewed as a siddur, not a chumash. But there are those, right? Rachmil, you just quoted me a posek who said, no, maybe you look at a siddur also like that. Lamaisa, right, for the record, I saw where Nissen Karel takes that opinion. Well, I saw Rukhan Kanievsky and others say, no, it does not have the same din. Interesting idea, also very relevant. When you have a lot of svarim, you also have a lot of things to clear up. Shuls, yeshivas, all have issues of piles and piles of svarim. That's actually why the smart places, you know, it's not good to have a flat surface in a shul in a base medrash. Because it gets dumped on.
So it's the right? Have a lot of them.
You can't ask any question in the design of the new base medrash. Right? They did not use rocket scientists for that one. But, so you have things pile up.
Rockets or scientists.
Rebbe Yalshev says a very important psak. He says when you're cleaning up svarim, because relatively you hope it's a short time you're making these piles, so you put it back on the shelves, you do not have to be machbed to put the chumash on top of the sitter and this. But Yalshev says for that type of situation, just throw them all up, put them on the shelves. What we're talking about is a broader usage, a broader person keeping, a sitter on top of a chumash and the like. Yes?
Is it halakhically required to kiss a chumash or a sitter that drops to the floor?
Excellent question.
Or
right?
Is it just a mimic?
Is it halakhically, the question posed was, is it halakhically required to kiss a sitter that falls on the floor? So I'll give you bigger than that. Interesting halakhically. This happens. You're davening Shemoneh Esrei, right? You drop your sitter. What do you do next? No Shemoneh Esrei, right? And let's say you really fumble it, right? I'm standing right here. I'm holding my sitter. You know, maybe the guy in front of me was shocking a little too much, or he finished Shemoneh Esrei a little before me. He took a few steps back, right into my sitter. My sitter falls 2 feet over there. What do I do now? Now, if the guy finished with an S-ray, you let him go and pick it up. But let's say the guy is just shuckling away. Right? Right, right. What do you do? Listen. Me Iker Hadin, you could continue dominating Shemoneh Esrei with the sitter on the floor. You don't have to pick it up.
Can you?
You could.
Then you're davening from memory.
In a tsunami.
Yeah.
True. Right? But you are allowed to daven by heart. Okay? It's better to daven with the sitter, but yeah. Technically, if there's no one else there, and it doesn't bother you, practically speaking, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right, talking to Hashem, you don't have to move. However, if it would bother your davening, then you could take those steps, pick it up, and go back to your short answer.
You don't have to start from the beginning.
No, but you would be allowed to move in the middle of your short answer. You can do that. Just for another record, we'll talk about moving. If you have a shaila, right? Today was Rosh Chodesh. You're Masupik. What's the halacha? I forgot y'all the other. What should I do? So Arsko made it easy. They also have that in the back of your sitter. Right? But they don't have all. They have a good amount.
Good amount, yeah.
But if you have a real tough shaila, you know you're even allowed in the middle of your short answer to go. Go to the shelf, start pulling off your halacha sefer, and start going through it. Wow. So, people think you're locked. You're not the Kohen Gadol, you're not the Baal Tefillah, in Yom Ha'Rayim, where, you're watching his feet, he doesn't move. You are allowed to move in certain circumstances. One to pick up a sitter, one for Shiloh, it's very interesting.
You walk out of the Shiloh, you know?
Yes. You know, you even ask a Shiloh. But, yeah. Anyway, fascinating. We'll go through the rest of Hilchos Tefillah. But, I do think you see from there, the Chavetz Chaim does allow for one to pick up a sitter to move because it's very meaningful for him and bothers him that the sitter's on the floor, and it will stare or bother your Shemoneh Esrei. How could I daven when the sitter's on the floor? That's how much we care about the cover. One would be allowed to pick it up, and Hu Adin to give it a kiss, 100%. The Chavetz Chaim does talk about kissing mitzvos that a person does. Like when you finish using, we walk out of the sukkah to kiss the sukkah, finish using your move in Esra at the end of the yontif, give it a kiss. There is an emotional attachment one should have to a mitzvah. And yeah, the idea of kissing a sitter, not just when it falls on the floor, but even, you know, after you finish using it, there's something to it. But let me just end off with one interesting halacha. And this I find fascinating. So we saw the Rabbeinu Feinstein says, ideally, we should try to treat, you know, a chumash with a higher level of kedusha over a sitter, over other svarim. I saw most posts say you don't have to start lining up generation by generation. Okay, here are the Rishonim. Here are the Achronim. Rabbi Akiva Eiger comes after the Bnei Yeshua, right? He was before him. But on top of the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't have to be that specific. So, you know, Rabbi Yosef says it's a neat thing to do. It's a good history lesson.
Right? Up on top of the bookshelf.
Yeah. It's a cute thing. You could, instead of your kid playing with blocks, you could show them, okay, the generations.
So you're saying the, right? The pyramid-like stacks in Queens are okay.
Yes, yes. But
coming to a bookstore. Well, when I'm standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yes, okay. Yes.
That means they have to be...
But I'll show you an interesting psak. I might have said this by the Rav David Feinstein share, but I'll show you a very interesting psak. Rav David Feinstein says the following. Rav David Feinstein says, okay, I'm going to pass them like the Magen Avram. You should have your chumash on top of your siddur. But you know what? You could put a nach on top of a chumash. You can put a nach on top of your chumash, Rabbi. What are you saying? This no, he says nach is greater. You look on the bottom left column. Venerly lols if she is kedushal nach al chumash and fasim. There's a greater kedusha to a nach than a printed chumash. What's his logic? He quotes a different Magen Avram. The Magen Avram tirets lamad korim haftorah b'toch nach and nitfas. Right? The fact that we say halacha l'maisa, are we allowed to read the Haftorah from a chumash, from a nach? The answer is yes. Right? There are places which are amakta to have a cloth, but me'ikar adin, 100%, you could be yotzei the Haftorah by reading a printed nach. That means a printed nach works on the highest level, on the to be yotzei 100%. Or David argues, right? Because of nach letzibur. Al mishum navi nit anitfas yishu kedushas navi mamish she'im psul shonir v'navi v'chein tzor kalila. You don't need ksav asheres. You don't need your printed. You don't need your cloth. Navi could work without a cloth. I will say Torah, it's our cloth. But we pass the Malach Lamaisa, a Sefer Torah can't be from a Chumash. You need a cloth. In Kain, Navi Adiv, Shu Kadosh Mamish, Vlomit Sareis Lasos. All our printed Svarim only have Kedusha because of this Din Eis Lasos Lashem. But not innately. Anach innately has Kedusha. Because I could use this for the Torah. So therefore, Rav David Feinstein says, you could put a nach on top of a printed chumash. Psak that nobody else, I don't think, ever printed. Such a psak, but quite, quite fascinating. I'll take the questions, but I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful week, a good chodesh, and should have a wonderful yantav of Zman Matan Tereseinu for new appreciation of what it means to be the people of the book.
Rabbi Sharfman Paskin something very unusual.
Yes, let me hear.
I had a long conversation with him about this once. He said that